I used to walk around and say, I don't judge anyone except Christians.
I remember a magistrate saying, you're not listening to anything we're trying to do, you're going to prison, son.
People are mysteries and also infinitely valuable in that way.
Then they tell you you'll probably be dead within 27 months.
From the Centre for Public Christianity, you're listening to Life and Faith. I'm Simon Smart.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
This is the sound of the Green Bay Packers winning the Super Bowl, the pinnacle of American football, in 2011. Against seemingly insurmountable odds, including a really difficult season, the underdog Packers managed to pull off a victory against the favourites, the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's one man who has been in the thick of it from the very start of the season, helping the players throughout the game. The cameras don't pan to him, though. He's sort of like a secret weapon, you could say. He wasn't on the field. He was in the stands, sitting with his father-in-law on the edge of his seat, of course, watching it all unfold. His phone beeping every now and then with texts from one Packer player, then another. And they were asking for prayer. Troy Murphy serves as a chaplain to the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay is in Wisconsin, north of Chicago. He was in Sydney last year, so John Dixon and I sat down to have a chat with him. John is friends with Troy. We talked about his work and what it means to be a chaplain in the NFL, sometimes called America's true religion. We'll hear about his Super Bowl experience a little later, but first we asked him to paint a picture of just how big the NFL is in America.
Football is just part of culture, and I think I've said earlier to people there are more people in stadiums on Sunday than in churches. And I think many people don't even necessarily like watching football, but it becomes catalytic for social connection. So even like Super Bowl parties, our church might do a couple of Super Bowl parties, but people just open their homes. They don't even watch the game. It's just a reason to gather. So the NFL, obviously from how much people are spending on merchandise and all the entertainment around it, is just a mecca.
And it's a big deal, Troy, isn't it, for the players to get drafted into the NFL, and not only in terms of the game. This is big business, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you talk to a young kid, what they want to aspire to if they're playing football is obviously to make the NFL, but the percentages are ridiculous. I can't remember what it's like 1% of all your football players that are in high school actually have a chance. So there's seven rounds of the draft, and a bunch of guys get an opportunity. But that doesn't even guarantee they have to perform. And, you know, you've had first-rounders that struggle and don't really even make that transition from college to pro. So it really is
the elite, isn't it?
Oh, it is the elite. Yeah, they are elite athletes for sure.
Mm. Tell us about Green Bay Packers. I'd never heard of them before I got an email from you in 2011 that had a signature down the bottom that looked, you know, like maybe they were good amateur team or something. Tell us about this team.
Yeah, and it really hurt our feelings, John, that you didn't know about us. But yeah, the Green Bay Packers are a unique franchise, and they're a part of the NFL, but they're one of the older teams. Most all of your pro sports have an owner, and the Packers have a board that runs them, because as kind of the way we say the language, that the city owns them because they're shares that are held. But the Packers are unique. They've always been unique in the NFL on tradition. Obviously Lombardi, one of the winningest coaches and just a legend. How all that started in the city. We're a small city. We're 120,000 people in just this Green Bay proper. I think in the whole county there's 220,000, but the stadium seats like 90-something thousand.
So almost no one is not there.
Well, if you can't walk, right, or you're too young. So, you know, and stats like I think it's somewhere most every game in the Packers' history has been sold out. I think the waiting list is like 49 years to get season tickets. That means if either of you had a kid, you'd put them on the waiting list to be able to purchase season tickets by the time they were 49.
Tell us what you particularly like about American football. What's great about it?
Well, without going into counseling, I think not having a father figure, you really attach yourself in sports, and I think it probably is true here, where as young men, we long for that male affirmation. So sports was that. But honestly, I loved hitting. That sounds really disturbing, but the fact that you could put on a helmet and pads and run full speed into somebody was addictive. And I think I just got hungry, and especially when you're having coaches saying, great job, Murphy, do that again. It motivated me. So I love the sport. I would say now I appreciate more, and especially watching our coaches, the strategy is just amazing how much goes into a game on Sunday. People have no idea.
It is like a gladiator meets Russian chess champion, isn't it? I mean, they have lecture theaters underneath the stadium where they come and they listen to lectures about the upcoming game and they devise strategy. And
you've got
a maths prof, you know, employed who does the stats.
Yes. This must rule out quite a lot of players immediately, doesn't it?
Well, right. And I think they say in athletics, especially in the NFL, your body maturity and your ability have to actually match your intellect. And so when those two meet, you find like a premier athlete. You know, guys like Aaron and some of these quarterbacks that are literally adjusting and making plays based on feet and inches, right? Mm-hmm. Because a person's there and this personnel just came in, and just it's a very brilliant game if you get into it on that level.
You mentioned things like affirmation and that sort of thing. Are there life lessons, other things that you love about this sport?
Well, I love the fact of the underdog and adversity. And so having growing up in football, I remember there was times where we would hear this team outmatches us in size, in talent. You know, every week, they have a great running back or their wide receivers are this. And I think the life lessons is never taking those things for granted, working with a team. You can do your job really well, but if, you know, the other 10 don't, that's obviously you're going to pay the price for that. So there's so much team dynamic going in on that it's, those are great life lessons, I think, to work together.
What does a chaplain do?
Largely, the big thing that people hear about is we do a chapel service before the game. So,
praying to win, Joey?
Yeah, we've laughed about that as the players said, does God really care if we win? Well, maybe he doesn't, but we better be praying for it, right? So we want to.
What are the questions and issues that these young athletes, these young guys, are facing that you are kind of uniquely positioned to respond to?
The way I would tell someone if we were to hand, if I had, a few million dollars as a 22-year-old, no matter where my faith was, I think that's an extremely difficult challenge. And to be popular beyond imagination, to be accessed by people, right? And I think the odds are stacked against them to weather through that. I think I'm in a position of just helping them, I get, manage some of that, but really they have to take that journey. It's almost as if they're kind of on their own to figure this out until crisis hits. Could be an injury, could be contract issue, could be they're getting traded, could be family. And that's where you're there to scoop up and say, all right, let's talk about your faith journey.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Center for Public Christianity. Greg Jennings scored two touchdowns in the Packers Super Bowl win over the Steelers in 2011. And here's what he said during a post-game interview on the field right after their win.
We've been a team that's overcome adversity all year. We find a way to bottle it up and exert it all out here on the field. To God be the glory.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Can you tell us about winning the Super Bowl in early 2011? Now, okay, you didn't actually run out the field and win
not.
It. But you were there. You were part of it. It must have been amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Growing up as a kid, too, I think there was probably in the back of my head, there were these dreams, could I ever play the NFL? And so I played a little bit in junior college and nowhere near where these guys are at. So to be there to this mecca of sporting event, all of the entertainment, all of the money spent on that was absolutely incredible. I got the privilege to take my father-in-law. His wife, my mother-in-law, had passed away a little bit earlier than that. And so for a Wisconsin person to go to a Packers Super Bowl was, and to win it was the highlight. And I can remember my father-in-law punching me in the arm because I'm not a rah-rah cheerleading guy because I know too many of the guys, and then I think I'm feeling the tension. And he's just hitting me. Come on, you gotta cheer. You gotta give it up. It was just that was so fun. It was so fun. And obviously the game, which
halftime things weren't looking good, were they?
No, we had a lot of injuries, and I remember just getting a text saying, "Hey, pray for us. A bunch of our guys are down." And it's like, and I felt that tension. Mm-hmm. And to come out and win that was just unbelievable. And you know, I would say, you feel there's a joy for them. Yeah. You know, watching them come in as young men and then just the stories in their lives. But to watch them win it honestly felt great. No matter what I got out of it, it was amazing.
Do you feel comfortable telling us about a profound or poignant moment or moments? You've told us the high of the Super Bowl win, but what about the really meaningful stuff?
Yeah, I think the meaningful moments aren't in chapels or games. They're usually in a home because a player has called and said, I need to talk to you. Sadly enough, it's been around loss of life. There's been loss of contract or retirement. I think all those have been really great moments. But I think the greatest, opportunity that I get to experience is to watch someone's faith journey really mature and grow. And so they're coming in as young men that I think our culture doesn't do them really good service because usually they've been catered to, and so they have to socially and spiritually and all that kind of grow up in the midst of this limelight.
I wonder about chaplains to people who used to play football, because it must be an incredibly intense kind of adrenaline-fueled experience, and then retirement must be really hard.
Yeah, I think anything in life that we so... I mean, you think about these players, that's their identity since Little League.
Yeah.
Whether it's Pop Warner football, and Pop Warner is like the junior format of tackle football. And if that's what they were affirmed for, what they were known for, and then all of a sudden that's done, yeah, you see a lot of players, and not just in football, but in basketball and baseball, I'm sure you guys see it in rugby and soccer, that identity now is no longer there, and it's a season of reinventing, and they're actually really young. Most of them, I think the average in the NFL is 3 years, so they're still young men, and there's this crisis that's been taken away.
Yeah. Do you feel your military background prepared you in any way for pastoral ministry, for working in this way amongst the NFL?
I do, in the sense that the Marine Corps, I needed that. I needed structure in my life, not having, again, a father figure that was affirming to me. And I love my father today, but just growing up in that environment, I longed for that affirmation. So in sports, that's largely, not as much today, that's kind of changing, but that kind of a coach was always there. They were screaming at you, do this right, don't mess this up. And that appealed to me. So military was definitely that. I think military has also given me just, I'm not intimidated by who they are, what they've done. And it allows me to not be a fan, but just to be a friend or to be a chaplain to them and nothing else.
From the Center for Public Christianity, you've been listening to Life and Faith with Simon Smart and John Dixon. We were speaking with Troy Murphy, who serves as a chaplain to the Green Bay Packers NFL team in America. And he's a great guy as well. If you're ever in the Green Bay area during a football season, you should definitely try and catch a game. If you can get a ticket, I think that might be a challenge. For more conversations on life and faith, please visit our website, publicchristianity.org, or subscribe to our podcast wherever you get them. Just type Life and Faith in the search box to find us. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating or review. It helps people discover our show. And thank you to the many people who've already done this. Your kind words and encouraging feedback do mean a lot to us. Next week.
I think at the heart of the matter, there's a very simple question, and it's whether we're prepared to see these people as the same as us, as deserving of the same kinds of quality of life and well-being as we are.